fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're here today again with Rabbi Dr. Mark Kinzer, who's been sharing his story, his journey of coming to believe in Jesus as Messiah and entering into a relationship with the historic Christian churches. And friends, if you haven't had a chance to tune into the program the last couple of days, I really want to encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. Programs are there on the computer. You can listen to them or download them, listen to them on your iPod whenever it's convenient for you. Welcome back.
Great to be here, Peter.
Yeah, so we ended the program yesterday. You were talking, it was really a beautiful moment of both how you were coming into relationship with historic Christianity and having real relationships on the ground with Gentile Christians and others who were really living the same faith and had the same kind of experience and encounter you had with Jesus. And that part of what you had to get over was also the historic anti-Semitism that was clearly a part of Christian history. There's no question about it. The recent popes have really acknowledged it, and beginning especially with Pope John Paul II in some way, and shared a beautiful story, which I want to ask you to repeat. But friends, you'd want to hear Dr. Kinzer just saying how he was helped to, how the Lord really helped him to be able to confront that in his life and experience healing. Well, so much has happened. We could probably do months of shows, you know, talking about all that's going on in your life. But one of the most important things is you've been part of a kind of a formal dialogue with the Messianic Jewish community and the Catholic Church. Why don't you share with our listeners what that's all about?
Yes. Well, you know, I've been part of this community, charismatic community founded by Roman Catholics for 20 years. And then in the early 1990s, the group of Messianic Jews who had been part of this community ventured forth and began a Messianic Jewish congregation. This was in 1993. So at that point, I really began to be involved more directly in leadership within the Messianic Jewish movement. And at that point, really, I also became the leading authority on Catholicism in the international Messianic Jewish movement. Because this is a movement that really grew up to a great extent under the influence of evangelical Protestantism. As part of an ecumenical community, of course, I had had lots of experience with evangelical Protestants as well, but really my theological influence was really from the Christian and was really more Catholic. And so I was already recognized to be someone who, you know, more than other Messianic Jews, had both significant relationships with Catholics and was fairly knowledgeable about the Catholic Church. And in 1995 and 1996, a couple of leaders within the Messianic Jewish movement had this vision for something that was called Toward Jerusalem Council II. And it was this sense that the Messianic Jewish movement needed to enter into relationship with leaders of the historic churches in order to move towards a day when the church as a whole would in some ways do for the Jews in its midst what the Jewish church of the first century did for Gentiles in terms of making it clear that these Gentiles did not need to become Jews in order to be followers of Jesus, that they should, in fact, find their own way, and that what the church needed to do was to recognize that Jewish disciples of Jesus should not become Gentiles, but needed to find a distinctive Jewish way of living their faith in Jesus, and to take responsibility for the 19 centuries in which the church largely had suppressed Jewish practice and Jewish life for Jews who came to faith in Jesus. And in that process of moving forward with that organization Towards Jerusalem Council II, they began to make relationships with Roman Catholics. And some of those Roman Catholics were people that I had known in my years in connection with the Catholic charismatic movement. And so something was beginning to happen in terms of a quiet dialogue with the Catholic Church. In fact, these leaders of this group that were Toward Jerusalem Council II actually met with Cardinal Ratzinger in the late 1990s.
At the time, was the head of the Sacred Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith.
Yeah. Yes, and yeah. And
became Pope Benedict. Right.
Became Pope Benedict, and at this point, Cardinal Ratzinger had said, "You know, if you are who you say you are, and if this is really a work of the Holy Spirit, and you're not just another fringe Protestant sect, then this is a sign. This is an eschatological sign.
Two things come to mind as you were talking, that a significant portion of what emerged in the Messianic Jewish community came out of maybe the Jesus movement and yes. things like that of the 70s. And so the Christianity that they encountered was kind of a Protestant optic, an yes. evangelical Protestant optic exactly. of how to understand Christianity and Christian history, which didn't have much of a clear understanding itself of the Catholic Church
right.
or huge portions of historic Christianity. But you, on the other hand, were kind of impacted from the other way around.
Exactly.
So you were bringing that perspective
That's
to
right.
the whole thing.
Exactly, yeah. exactly. And so I was kept informed of all of these developments that were happening with the Toward Jerusalem Council too. And then from a whole nother end of the spectrum, there were a couple of Messianic Jews in Israel, two brothers who were very unusual, charismatic types. They had felt called to a celibate life. They had a kind of monastic Messianic Jewish life in Israel, and they'd started a Messianic Jewish congregation. And they developed relationships with a lot of Catholic charismatic communities in Israel and then in Europe. And they developed a connection that led them to spend time with Father Georges Cottier, who was at that time the theologian of the papal household, the personal theologian of
John Paul II,
and
yeah.
eventually became a cardinal. And they spent time together, and he really felt like something very special was going on here with them. And so what ended up happening was Father Cottier, on his end, and then what had been happening with the Toward Jerusalem Council II folks, there was a kind of meeting of these two ends of things, mm-hmm. what is happening, you might say, in North America, what was happening in Israel and connections with Catholics. And Father Cottier decided that he wanted to bring together a meeting, a small meeting, exploratory time of prayer and discussion that would be top secret, highly confidential, you know.
Well, it's explosive for our listeners. It's explosive for a number of reasons.
Exactly.
You know, one is the Messianic Jewish community is sort of stuck in the middle. It's a
yes.
potential bridge. It could be an amazing bridge between historic Judaism and Catholicism.
Yes.
But traditional Israel, maybe that's the best, I don't know if that's yeah. the best way to put it, yeah. but they don't want to recognize you guys
that's
either because
right.
they don't believe in a Jewish believing in Messiah at this stage of history,
exactly.
right?
Exactly,
and so,
exactly.
And so you're explosive to them,
yeah.
but they're also dialoguing with Rome at the same time, and that it's a very important dialogue and extremely sensitive,
yes.
and the fact that Rome would have any recognition of you
that's
guys
right.
is profoundly difficult
that was,
in their relationship.
No, you explained
room,
very,
right?
very effectively what the issues were, and I was amazed that leaders within the Catholic Church just would still think that it was so important to enter into conversation with Messianic Jews, that someone like Cardinal Ratzinger or someone like Pope John Paul II, who really was the one behind this, because, Father Cottier was in regular conversation with the Pope about these things. They believed that there was something going on here that was of such spiritual importance that the Catholic Church had to make contact. Even though we're a fringe movement, we're a small movement, we could be seen as simply a fringe Protestant sect, they discerned that something else might be going on here. And so they gathered a group of eight Messianic Jews. There were a couple of us from the U.S. and the rest from Israel, and eight or nine Catholics, including a bishop, an auxiliary bishop of Paris, who was sent by Cardinal Lustiger, the Jewish cardinal, Jewish archbishop of Paris, and a theologian who was a very close friend of Cardinal Schönborn, the archbishop of Vienna. And then it was really presided over from the Catholic end by Father to be Cardinal Cottier. And that began in the year 2000. And for 7 years, we met in every year, rotating between Rome and Jerusalem. And for those first 7 years, it was still confidential because of the sensitivity of the meetings. And very much you gave a good explanation, Peter, of why it was so sensitive. But the Catholics all along were saying, we are in a discernment process. We are trying to discern whether you are a work of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And after 7 years, the Messianic Jews said, well, we think you've had enough time to serve. Yeah. Tell us, what do you think? And they came back to us and said, yes, we're finished from our end. We really believe that you are a work of the Holy Spirit. But of course, this was not an official dialogue. They were not officially representatives of the Catholic Church. And we said, okay, well, what we need to do now is to figure out how to make this reality known more broadly and bring it to the attention of the Catholic world as a whole and the Messianic Jewish world as a whole, so it can discern, you know?
Well, that's a powerful and explosive moment, because if you go public and the larger Jewish community is saying you cannot publicly recognize them because you're validating them.
Exactly. Yeah. And so the way it was dealt with, and I think it was dealt with very wisely at that point, and I think this was in the year 2007, was we said, okay, we can now begin to talk about this conversation publicly, but we have to be very clear to say it is an informal initiative of some prominent Catholics from the Catholic end. It is not official. It is not formal.
The Pope isn't sending his representative to speak on his behalf in the context of these.
Officially. Yeah, right. I mean, in a sense, one of those prominent people who was behind it was the Pope. But he was not doing it, in a sense, as the Pope. You know, but it was being positioned as something that was not official, was not an action of the Church. It was an action of a set of leaders within the Church who sensed that something was happening here, who were giving their own sense of discernment about the significance of the Messianic Jewish movement, but they were not claiming to be the authorized representatives of the Roman Catholic Church.
And the discernment piece, just to kind of circle back to what you were saying earlier, was they weren't discerning whether you were believers in Messiah. You're wondering, is this a Protestant sect or something? Is this a small part of, or are these actually these Jewish people encountering Jesus as Messiah, and they've rediscovered in the context of their Jewish identity, and there's something here that the Lord is speaking to the churches that's going on that we need to take seriously.
I think, in fact, what I sense from our Catholic partners was a sense of, we're expecting something like you. We're expecting something like you. We just don't know if you are the one. But we expect at some point, at some point in history, something like what you are is going to emerge.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
But are you the ones or not?
So
it was kind of like John the Baptist, you know, says, are you the one, or should we expect someone else?
Right. Wow, time goes so fast. I wonder, tomorrow we'll be back. If it might be helpful to talk a little bit about Romans 11, because it's relating a little bit to what you're saying, that we're expecting something to come. And friends, this has been such an enriching conversation. Tune in again tomorrow with us. Tell your friends to join us, because it's going to get better even tomorrow. But the Lord's clearly doing something, and it's time for us to open our hearts to it. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the Church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.